Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John Couch, John engineering and producing the show. It is the midweek edition, but it sure feels like a Tuesday. And that, of course, happens when we have these, when we have 3-day weekends. It is Wednesday. It's May 27th, 2020. Hope you're having a good day. We are practicing safe distancing while bringing people together right here from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, where we piggyback over from kvoi.com to give you the live stream. All of our programs are available on podcast 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. If you have a comment or a question for Pima County Supervisor Sharon Bronson, the number on the live line is 790-2040. Let's go now on the live line to Supervisor Bronson. Sharon, how are you today?
I am doing well, Bill, and I hope you are too, and I hope we're all staying safe and wearing masks as we venture out.
Well, everybody's trying to say to stay safe, but some of these numbers don't look real encouraging, do they, from the health department?
No, and, 526, there was a record high of 911 hospitalizations due to COVID-19. That's across the state. And then this past Saturday, 524, the emergency rooms saw, and again, a record high, 581 COVID-related emergencies. So our challenge is, given where we are today, how do we manage for tomorrow?
Let's begin with the federal CARES money. This is money that will be going to counties and cities all across the United States to try to soften some of the economic blows of COVID-19. But I find it very disappointing, and I think a lot of small business owners do as well, that this money, and I think it's quite a bit of money, isn't it? $80 million, something like that?
The city of Tucson is getting, I think, $92 million. We are getting in the neighborhood of, we think at this point, of about $88 million. But again, as you mentioned, I think that comes to the state and is then passed on to local jurisdictions.
But your hands are tied, Sharon Bronson, as far as that, the way that money can be dispersed, correct?
They are tied, and we're confused as to how much we're going to get, if that's going to come directly to local jurisdictions, cities, towns, counties, or whether some of that money will stay in Phoenix at the state government level. But then as we are reading the regs, the regulations, it looks to us like most of that money can only be used for COVID-related expenses, government expenses, which means basically cover PPE, personal protection equipment, and other expenses related to COVID-19, whether incurred by our health department or some of our other departments. So, as you just mentioned, we've got a lot of small businesses, obviously our local restaurants, who are hurting. These are local restaurants. These aren't national chains. And we feel we have no way to really help them recover by giving them maybe 0% loans that we can maybe forgive down the line at some point. You know, those are the things we'd like to do that we do not think we can do.
You couldn't even give food assistance to the food bank, could you, under these regulations?
That's what we're reading into the regs. But, again, I want to thank Congresswoman Kirkpatrick and Senator Sinema. They are both working with us, with counties and cities and towns to see if we can't loosen some of those restrictions and get the money where we need it to our local business, at least some of it to our local businesses, to get them back on their feet as we begin to do some soft openings. So, again, we're going to need help from our congressional delegation, and certainly the congresswoman and the senator are on a phone calls to us weekly, giving us updates on what can happen next.
Your vote, along with your two Democratic colleagues, it was a 3-2 vote to put in more stringent requirements for our restaurants. Quite honestly, is it safe to say you just did not feel that the requirements that the governor put down were just not strong enough to your liking and to your colleagues' liking that we could safely open our restaurants?
I think we had some concerns, and I think we when we initially adopted the restrictions for opening or the guidelines, it was at the recommendation of a committee that had on it a number of people from the restaurant industry. Upon further review, some of those restrictions would be frankly unenforceable, so we were able to working with the Arizona Restaurant Association and some of our local small restaurants here in town, we were able to come up with a reasonable compromise that allows them to reopen while still protecting the public health. We're hoping that as, again, we begin all these reopenings, we are doing it in a way that protects public health but allows them to begin to rebuild their businesses.
And these are being challenged by the Attorney General, and I know there has been a response, a formal response from Pima County. And do you have any inkling on when we will hear from the Attorney General on this?
No, we don't. But if we have passed this prologue, when we've had other suits, it's usually within a 2-4 week period that there's a response. So that's what we're suspecting we will see here. But many, the initial complaint that was filed with the AG, we have removed a number of those restrictions, including, but not limited to, the fines. So, and we are allowing, before it was everybody with at least the 6-foot spacing, we are allowing the new regs will allow couples or parties to come in and sit together should they choose that option as long as they're 6 feet away from another table. And I think the other thing we did was allow them to, because they are going to obviously lose some capacity, allow them remove the restriction that there can't be outside dining. We're allowing them to use their parking lots and other spaces to put up tables so that, again, they can increase their clients. So I hope that these work out. And as you know, it's one day at a time. We'll see what works. We'll see what doesn't. And then we'll adjust accordingly so that, again, we can get these businesses back up and on their feet and people reemployed.
Are you still having your Thursday emergency meetings, or are those now being dovetailed into the regular meetings?
We are certainly getting updates at our regular meetings, and there are some updates not necessarily every Thursday, but as needed as the situation changes. And obviously, on a day-to-day basis, the situation is changing, and we need to stay ahead of the curve and be informed.
All right, we're going to pause right here and talk a little bit about Mona's Danish Bakery, our favorite bakery in town, home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, and they have plenty of room out on the patio for safe distancing, and there is some limited in-bakery dining as well, but you can go in right now, and I hope you do. They're open for lunch. Grab your bakery goods and sit outside. Enjoy. It is covered, so you will not be sitting in the bright sunlight. But Mona's Danish Bakery is the place to go for all of your fine bakery goods. Northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, on the web at monasdanishbakery.com. Also a link to Buckmaster at buckmastershow.com, a link to Mona's. We'll take a break right here. It's our midweek edition in the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios. We're at just about exactly a few seconds past 12:15. We'll be right back.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com.
It's easy being green. Promote wind, install solar, drive electric cars, ban mining. Wait a minute! You can't ban mining! Green is good, but hey, no can do without the metals green products need from mining. If you ban mining, you'll ban everything green. And today's minds are on board, researching technologies that provide critical materials for a greener world. Being green, another miracle from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district. The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026. And the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, midweek edition in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. We continue now with our conversation with Pima County Supervisor Sharon Bronson. Supervisor Bronson, you have clashed with Mr. Huckleberry, the county administrator, over county workers working at home during the COVID-19 crisis. So it's pretty much right now, with the exception of a small percentage of county workers, it's pretty much back to business at the county building. Does that concern you?
It does concern me. This COVID-19 obviously took everybody by surprise. We had to reinvent how we were delivering government services. But I think it's up to government to lead by example, and I think we should be Mr. Huckleberry and I disagree on the value of telecommuting, but I think in the 21st century, telecommuting should be part of our strategy in terms of improving our service to our constituents, as well as providing safe working places in this time of COVID-19 for those who are able to telecommute. Not every essential employee is going to be able to telecommute, but certainly I feel we can maintain staff productivity while telecommuting, and I think we should examine telecommuting as a viable strategy, a workforce strategy, again, as we're entering now the third decade, or will be soon entering the third decade of the 21st century. Let's take advantage of the technology and improve our productivity while improving our delivery of service. And I think we can do it. We just need to have a strategy that assures that productivity. But in point of fact, from my point of view, we can assure that productivity by allowing our managers, giving our managers the authority to make the decision on who and who cannot telecommute, and while maintaining safe workplaces and still doing the 6-foot separation, providing our employees with masks. Again, if we're asking the restaurant industry to do it, I think we should do what we're asking of the restaurant industry. And I think telecommuting is part of our strategy for keeping our workforce safe and productive. So I realize that we have to think about telecommuting differently now. We do have the virtual private networks, which allows us to track an employee, whether they're on their connected devices, and it's just not their computers, but their other electronic devices. And I think the appointing authorities should be the ones making that decision, the ones closest to the employees that they are overseeing, and that it should not be a decision that is made and reviewed by top-level management, but rather let's let that to the appointing authorities. And then if that productivity isn't there, I think that those appointing authorities need to be held accountable, and I think we have a way to do that.
How is the conversation over here, or is this a done deal, or is this going to be readdressed?
I speak for myself. I would like very much to readdress it, and I would hope we are going to be moving forward. We are going to be looking at telecommuting as part of our sustainability program, because as you know, I'm sure you're reading the same information I am, Bill, during at least the initial phase in of the COVID-19 strategies with sheltering in place, working from home. We saw an amazing, and this is globally, an amazing reduction in ozone and a very, very real improvement in air quality. So, again, I think telecommuting should be part of our strategy to keep our workers safe and part of our strategy as we are looking at sustainability of our region and our nation.
All right. I've only got about 5 minutes here, and I want to talk about the budget. This is an unusual year, to say the least, as far as trying to come up with a budget for the fiscal year, and the county operates on a fiscal year. The new year begins July the 1st. How in the world do you, with all the things that have gone on with COVID-19, how do you put together a budget for a new year under these circumstances?
Well, I think if we're going to be coming back and adjusting it as we find out, as you know, how it's determined, you know, what our reduction in general fund state shared revenues is. We budgeted when we adopted the current budget, and our final budget adoption is a month or so away. We are projecting about a $25 million loss. Reduction in general fund state shared revenues. We think we're looking at about a $14 million, almost $15 million dollar change to the negative in property tax levy and delinquency tax rate. But I suppose, you know, on the positive side, we are looking at an actual reduction, total reduction in property taxes. So that should be good news for those businesses that are struggling. And we're looking at, I think, a 27 cent, I'm trying to remember the exact number, reduction in the combined property tax rate. And, you know, so I think that, you know, there's some good news there that we are able to do that. And at the same time, we're looking at, again, it's about a 25 cent total combined property tax rate decrease in for our assessed valuation. And we're still going to be able to put money into our pavement repair program to the tune of, I'm trying to remember, somewhere around, I think, another $30 million. So we're going to be fixing our roads, reducing our total overall property tax rate. But again, stay tuned. We do not know how COVID is going to affect revenue. And as you know, those cities and towns that are dependent on sales tax are going to see some reductions because we have the reduction in tourism. And we are seeing a decline in retail sales. So we don't know what the future holds, and we're looking at it day to day. But right now, the county is in reasonable shape. You're going to see a reduction in your overall property tax rate. So I guess that's the good news here.
And you're not having to lay anybody off at this point?
At this point, there are no layoffs projected. But then, again, this is totally dependent on, I mean, we think we're coming, you know, we think we're seeing a flattening of the curve with COVID. But if you look at what the scientists are saying and the healthcare experts, we may see another resurgence of COVID-19 in the fall combined with the flu season. And as you look at several health experts and pandemic modeling experts, they think we're in the second inning of what's going to be a 9-inning game.
Boy, I hope not. I hope that's not the case, but who knows what's coming. Sharon Bronson, thank you very much. Stay reasonably well, right?
Yes, let's all of us stay well. Be respectful of your neighbors. And when you go out, please, please wear a mask. You need to protect those who are most vulnerable, even if you feel you are not vulnerable. Please think of the other people who are.
All right, Sharon Bronson, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, I want to talk about one of our great sponsors. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. I want to talk a little bit about Green Things celebrating 50 years and still growing. So this is really, a lot of people have decided this is a great time to take up gardening, and that's where Green Things comes in on their 13-acre site. They have an amazing variety of plants, trees, and annuals, and so much more, and so many people starting to grow their own little home vegetable gardens. Well, they can take care of that as well. They've got all the particular nutrients that you will need for your little garden and get it up and going. And the people at Green Things, so knowledgeable. One of my Facebook friends went out there over the weekend, took some pictures, and complimented the staff. And he had a lot of people that agreed Green Things, the go-to nursery here in town. They're at 3384 East River Road. Their website is greenthingsaz.com. And, of course, they also have Zocalo Village, all those antiques, fine art, handmade furniture at Zocalo Village. And that website, zocalovillage.com. All right, we're at the midway point of the Buckmaster Show. Reminder that coming up next, the Sun Corridor, Inc. interview series. We'll be talking to the president of Involta. We'll find out about what Involta does. And then investigative reporter from Channel 4, Matthew Schwartz, Confessions of an Investigative Reporter. His book is just out this week and already having a lot of success on Amazon. He'll tell us all about that. Be right back. Buckmaster, midway point of the midweek edition.
CBS News Update. Two American astronauts are set to blast off for space in about an hour.
Here they come, NASA astronauts Bob Behnken and Doug Hurley. They've each made this journey twice before for the space shuttle missions.
But bad weather is a concern at the Kennedy Space Center. CBS's Jeff Berardelli.
Our latest computer models show extensive thunderstorms developing this afternoon and hitting the East Coast right near the Cape around the time of launch. This is going to make the launch touch and go.
CBS News space consultant Bill Harwood on the importance of this particular mission.
It's critical to NASA to get its own transportation system to ferry astronauts to and from the space station. You know, the taxpayer has well over $100 billion invested in the station. And to do the research they want to do, it takes, you know, multiple people on board the station all the time to operate all those experiments.
CBS News Update, I'm Pam Coulter.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at NobleHopsPub.com.
If it can't be grown, then it must be mined. Cause without minerals, you never find your phones, your cars, your solar panels, or your smart TVs with your favorite channels. Hospitals, schools, and public facilities result from mining's vast abilities. Dividends, taxes, and high-paid employment come from mining for your enjoyment. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Are you happy with the news you get? Well, not all news is good news. You know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
It's time for the CEO interview series on the Buckmaster Show, presented by Sun Corridor Inc., representing one of the most dynamic and growing major business centers in North America. Sun Corridor Inc. is a CEO-driven regional alliance whose members aggressively champion mega regional issues that impact economic competitiveness and quality of life. The organization has helped to drive significant business investment into the Tucson and Southern Arizona region through primary job creation, resulting in an economic impact of $29.5 billion, with 173 company locates and expansions, supporting nearly 51,000 jobs. For more information, visit suncorridorinc.com.
And joining us now on the live line is Jim Bowie, the president of Involta. Jim, how are you?
Hey, great, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Tell me a little bit about your company. What is your mission at Involta? And give us a little background about how this company has evolved, Jim.
Oh, you bet. We deliver a hybrid IT solution. So what we mean by that is helping companies with their journey to the cloud, in a lot of cases, taking on digital transformation projects, maybe some custom IT projects, and we really try to do that in a secure and reliable way. The company started 11 years ago, and the roots are really in the Midwest in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. We built our first data center facility, and then expanded across the nation, including Tucson in 2013. So we now have 11 data centers across the country, private cloud offerings, security offerings, and a whole set of IT capabilities.
Tell me a little bit about the name Involta. How did that come about, that name? What does that mean?
Yeah, loosely translated, it means in the vault.
In the vault.
In the vault. So your data is safe and secure with us. We pride ourselves. Our brand promise is really about operational excellence, superior infrastructure and services, and people who deliver. And in Volta, and being in the vault, we take great pride, and our employees really take great pride in being that local provider in Tucson and Southern Arizona that can really help protect data.
Jim, talk a little bit about digital transformation. What does it mean? And here we are in the time of COVID-19. So many people are doing work from home. I mean, this is a whole new ball game, isn't it, Jim?
Oh, it is. And thanks for asking. This is unprecedented in my experience in the industry, and just to see how we're able to help companies in a different way. You know, we have a lot of clients in the healthcare space, manufacturing space, and financial services. And when we think about what's going on with those types of companies in the healthcare space, you know, we have healthcare organizations that are going from zero telehealth appointments with patients to 6,000 a week or a day.
Wow.
And to be able to store all of those images and to be able to execute, that's an acceleration of digital transformation in the healthcare space that is really making, creating a need for companies like us, like Envolta, to really help out in executing. You know, banks in a similar way, mobile banking, has increased exponentially during this time of COVID. And even in manufacturing, you know, social distancing and having to incorporate robotics into your manufacturing lines and really reimagine some of your manufacturing processes so that they aren't impacted. It's been a very interesting few months for us, and we kind of look at the back half of the year really continuing to help clients with that accelerated pressure they're feeling on digital transformation.
What are you hearing about? Here we are, a mid-sized market, Tucson. Were we able to handle at the peak, say April, when everybody seemed to be at home and on the computer, Jim Bowie, were we able to handle the capacity? What are you hearing?
Yeah, our clients tell us that we were extremely prepared to handle the capacity, and I think, you know, that's a great tribute to the planning of the organization in Tucson. I think, you know, as we come out of COVID and think about what it means to how you run your healthcare system or your business, things are, as you said, a very different world. And I think we may plan a little bit differently with how do we deal with work from home? How do you deal with more patients in the healthcare space? How do you deal with manufacturing capabilities? It's certainly a different world, but our clients are successfully navigating through it. I think some were more ready than others, but overall, I really feel like Southern Arizona was well positioned to handle the COVID situation.
What is your footprint in the community? You're very tied to this community, aren't you, being a local provider?
We are. We have we like to call them concurrently maintainable data center. When we think about the importance of that facility to the community, you know, we want to attract businesses. I think what's interesting, we know that Southern Arizona and Tucson are really great places to have a business and run a business, but also for people to live. And one of the, as companies look at moving to Tucson, they want to know that there's a place, an IT provider like Envolta, that can really help them provide the redundancy. You know, it's easy to work from home and work wherever you want, but servers aren't as easy to take home. You can't have security and reliability with a server at home. So, you know, we like to think that we can partner with businesses that want to move here, and you know, we'll take care of their IT equipment and our data center facility. It's a fantastic facility. We've had zero downtime, and that's our guarantee. And we, pride ourselves in maintaining that security and reliability.
Where are you from, Jim?
I grew up in Florida. My sister has now been in Tucson. She grew up with me. One of my sisters has now been in the Tucson market for 35 years.
Really?
So I've spent much time in Tucson over the last 35 years with her, and whether it's having fun playing golf or hiking or many of the activities that we enjoy in Southern Arizona.
Jim, I would think the future is very bright for Envolta in these times we're living in.
Yeah, it is a high-growth company. I feel very fortunate that we've been able to provide consistency and we do provide essential services. Our job is serious. It is keeping uptime for critical applications for companies. So we've been very proud. We've actually added to the team recently in Tucson. We've added four Tucsonians to the team. And, you know, we pride ourselves on being local, and the future is bright. We're going to continue to grow in Southern Arizona. We want to be a partner in helping create new jobs and receiving opportunities for businesses and people to move into the area. We think it's a great place for Involta to continue this growth trajectory.
I took a look at your new website. I think you just launched that this week. Why don't you tell our listeners about how they can find you?
Absolutely. It's www.involta.com. And I think there's useful information for everyone out there, and even community events. We're working with the Sunnyside Foundation on a fundraiser relative to their STEM program. We have an Operation Linked Loved Ones that really is about having people at the Devin Gables Rehabilitation Center be able to connect virtually with their families. So, you know, we're very active in the community. You can find out more about that on our website, as well as the whole gamut of services that we offer.
Thank you very much, Jim Boy. I appreciate it. President of Involta. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
All right. For more information, visit Sun Corridor, Inc., the sponsor of SunCorridorInc.com, the sponsor of our CEO interview series. Up next on the Buckmaster Show, award-winning Channel 4 KVOA investigative reporter Matthew Schwartz, who has hit a home run with his new book, Confessions of an Investigative Reporter. Matthew is on the live line. He's next.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, the midweek edition. This portion presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. They are waiting with open arms to welcome you back to a beautiful area of the Land of Enchantment, just a three-hour drive from Tucson. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. That's the great starting place before you make your trip over to Silver City. There you will have all sorts of ideas on how to recreate, plenty of safe distancing in the Gila National Wilderness. Also great places to stay. Again, that website, southwestnewmexico.org. Matthew Schwartz joins us, investigative reporter for KVOA, Channel 4 here in Tucson. The award-winning investigative reporter has hit a home run with a new book. It was just released this week. The title is Confessions of an Investigative Reporter. It is published by the international publishing house Kohler Books. Matthew joining us on the live line. How are you, sir?
I am well. Thanks for having me. And what a great way to spend my lunch break, because I'm still working full-time on KVOA. So it's nice to be with you.
Talk a little bit about the good news you've received from Amazon, Matthew.
Well, I'm overwhelmed. You know, I just wrote this book to leave as a kind of a legacy for my family and friends. I fully intended to self-publish. I sent the manuscript to some prominent journalists I know, some I don't know. They said, this is pretty good. You should try to get this published traditionally. First publisher I sent it to loved it, and to my surprise, offered me a traditional deal with an advance. It went up on, it was released yesterday, and I found out this morning it's number one in the Kindle version on Amazon in hot new releases in the category of biography of journalists. And the reviews have been fantastic. You know, you never know, especially when you're a rookie author, how people are going to react.
Why do you?
A lot of anger in the world today, too. You know, a lot of, you know, anti-media sentiment. So a reporter writing a book.
Yes, in the age of fake news, right?
Yes.
Why do you think this book is resonating so with so many people? Obviously, as you just mentioned, there's been a lot of response at Amazon. Do you think it's a chance for folks to kind of take a look behind the curtain, so to speak?
I do. I think people are tired of what's going on now. Of course, not talking about just the pandemic, but they just angry, upset. You have a very split country, and this book is not about politics. Yes, of course, I talk about some of the political stories I reported. I kind of beat up on both parties, as in the chapter on both Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders stiffing the city of Tucson when they didn't pay for their rallies here. So the book is not a partisan book. I think they're enjoying it, Bill, because the stories, and I'm also honest, and you can't put confessions in the title and not be self-deprecating. I talk about mistakes I've made. I talk about personal failings. And I think that's why it's resonating. And I think they just like good stories. And the book moves fast. It's only about 232 pages. Each chapter is only a few pages. And I think they like the first chapter that Amazon put on its look inside feature yesterday, talking about my personal failings and about my interview with the Son of Sam and how I was ordered to lie on the air. And I think that resonated.
Yeah, that was one of your early interviews. And early on in your life, I believe you dreamed of working. You're from the tri-state area in the metropolitan New York area. You had dreamed of working in the media in the Big Apple, and the dream came true. I believe you turned 30 years old, and suddenly you were at Channel 9 in New York. And one of the big interviews was doing the Son of Sam interview. And after you got back to the newsroom, there was a bit of a surprise. What happened there briefly?
Three of the news managers, including the news director, asked to see the raw footage, which was unusual, but this was a big interview. He hadn't done an interview in a few years. You know, we came back from the maximum security prison in upstate New York to the newsroom. I showed them the footage and they were thrilled with it. And then the news director said to me, why don't you say you were nervous and worried about Berkowitz picking up your pen and stabbing you with it? So I thought he was joking, but he wasn't. And, you know, I walked out of there in kind of in shock, certainly not happy. And then I wrote the script. I screened the interview, brought the script back to the news director, and he changed the line to say, My producer was worried that Berkowitz would pick up my pen and stab me with it. Mm. Well, Bill, my producer wasn't even at the interview.
Mm.
Now, this isn't the biggest lie in the world, but to me, a lie is a lie. Your credibility, you know, gets hurt. It doesn't matter the depth of it, in my opinion. And it really bothered me because I've never knowingly told a lie in my career. Sure, I've made mistakes. And that's a chapter I call Mistakes. I've Made a Few. But this really bothered me. And I still cringe when I watch the piece, which is on Vimeo. And anybody can watch it right now, Matthew Schwartz DVD Vimeo. So that bothered me, Bill. I think as a newsman, it would bother you, too. It's just sensationalism. Fox had bought the station, and I saw the tenor of the newscast changing to become more tabloid.
You talk about in the book lying on camera. A lot of people that you have interviewed in your career, you know, are lying on camera. Was your thinking when you would go in, when you heard the lie, do you confront them or do you let them, so to speak, hang themselves? What is your approach to that, Matthew Schwartz?
I try to let them hang themselves. I try to ask them for their version of the truth, and then I tell them or show them a document or proof I have that what they're saying is untrue. I did two famous cases in my career of that. I mean, I've caught hundreds of people in lies, but the two most famous that I would say, one here in Tucson with a trainer at the now-closed Tucson Greyhound Park who told me he did not refuse to take a drug test as required by the state and did not drug his dog with a steroid. I had the documents. So before I took the documents out, I asked him about that. Then he lied. And then I said, very nicely, I said, well, I have the documents here, the official records from the state. And then he flipped me the bird, cursed me out, and drove away. And that was all on camera. That's actually on the cover of the book. He's not telling me I'm number one.
That's for sure. Confessions of an investigative reporter. Wow.
The other lie was involving Hulk Hogan's wife, a professional wrestler named Terry Jean Bollea, his wife at their home in Clearwater, in Bel Air, Florida, near Clearwater. She lied to me about something that she denied saying, and we had it on videotape. We had her saying it, and we played it. Right after she said, I never said that, we played it. We just butted the soundbite to her denying it, and we had the tape. But she still denied it.
Wow.
So that was a little awkward, you know, getting into that confrontation with her 6 foot, 8 inch, 300-pound husband there.
Yeah, I bet. You know, you and I have been around a long time, Matthew. We've seen a lot of evolution of this business. You spent 20 years in the New York market, then went to Tampa, and then to Tucson. Have you seen investigative reporting? Are fewer stations doing it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I think every report, by nature, you know, journalism should be investigative. I think fewer stations are doing it because of time and money. And now with the internet, they don't take the time to do these big investigations that take weeks for television. Everything is now feed the beast content and everything digital. Get it online now. So fewer stations are giving reporters, like in the 80s and 90s, weeks to do investigations. So what I do is I juggle the complicated ones with the quickies. And that's what I think most investigative reporters are doing. But the quantity of investigative reports has gone down. I don't think the quality has. It's just fewer of them. It's also an expensive proposition for a lot of stations because some of these pieces involve travel.
Matthew, I'm quickly running out of time. I want to carve out about a minute for you to tell our listeners where they can obtain the book. And I know your book signings have been put on hold because of the COVID. Go ahead.
Yeah, all the four local bookstores in Tucson are buying the book. They've ordered it. Both Barnes & Noble's, Antigone, mostly books. And you can get the book on Amazon, barnesandnoble.com, indiebooks.org, and on my website, MatthewSchwartzBook.com, which has an entertaining one-minute video there.
Well, Matthew, your lunch hour is about over. And it's time to get back to work, right, at Channel 4. We'll look for your work. I appreciate talking with you, and congratulations on the book, Confessions of an Investigative Reporter. The publisher is Kohler Books. Thank you, Matthew.
Thank you so much, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Matthew Schwartz will look for his work on Channel 4, and he's done very well with this new book, Confessions of an Investigative Reporter. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show, midweek edition. Dr. Mazes will be with us tomorrow. That's always a pleasure for her monthly visit from the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona. That's coming up tomorrow. On behalf of my fine engineer-producer, John Couch, we're a good team, Mr. Couch. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. Dave Ramsey is coming up next, talking money, how to save money, how to navigate very troubled waters that so many people are finding themselves in these days. Have a very great afternoon.